Hello, everyone.
I hate it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football Book Club. I'm James Buck. I'm doing my children's TV presenter voice, which can only mean one thing. Once again, it's time for Football Book Club story time.
Now, oh, no. We're trapped in the story time universe again.
It was so popular last time, we brought it back. As listeners remember, Storytime is the extra special super duper spin-off, where I write super duper a lot in my notes, where instead of reading a footballer's book, each member of the book club brings a story they want to tell the rest of the group, whether old or new. All that matters is the story is football related. And talking to the group, hey, why don't we meet them? Say hello, Jack Bernhardt.
I refuse to validate this weird power trip.
Say hello, Jack Bernhardt.
I like it. It's relaxed.
I will not do it.
So is this hello, your Jeff, like, audition for one of those CBeebies story things that Harry Styles is doing?
Yeah. I think we established that last time, didn't we? I think we said that's. Yeah. I'm MILF Hunter General.
Have they called?
Yeah, they called. They called. Back to where we were before. Say hello, Jeff Bernhardt.
Hello, God.
Beautiful. Say hello, Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
And say hello, James Belgium.
Hello.
Perfect. How are we doing? We excited for more story time. I can tell you are.
No, I enjoy the concept of story time. Mm-hmm. I enjoy hearing great stories.
I just getting into it.
I don't like what it does to you. That's what I don't like. I don't like who you become when you start doing story time. I don't like who you think you are.
Yeah, I really do effortlessly slip into MILF Hunter mode.
The problem is I get too aroused, James. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's difficult. It is difficult. Tash, similar? Enjoy the show, but too aroused?
I've kind of got the lurgy at the minute, so I'm a bit worried listening to you three tell stories. I'm going to doze off. It's going to be like I'm...
Oh.
Excuse me? Oh, my word.
It's going to be like getting three bedtime stories. Isn't it?
Oh, I see. In that, okay. You pulled it back in. I thought you said we were
James. Don't let her get away with that. She was saying it. She's not.
That's not a bad
worried
idea. Actually.
When we read like Neil Redfern's book, she's not like, oh, I'm worried I'm going to fall asleep. It's specifically when we're telling stories.
Tash reads a lot of books in the bath.
James does his ASMR voice. If he does that, then I'll be long gone.
Well, Tash reads a lot of books in the bath as well, so she would possibly drown if she did fall asleep. It'd be quite dangerous. Sorry, James, you were saying something.
We could submit these the story time to the sleep apps, the little nighttime stories to send people off.
Yeah,
that's a good shout. Or we submit into Gary Lineker's more and more favourite football stories, the third edition.
True.
The never-ending book. I will say that if we did send it to a sleep app, people would be falling asleep and then my obnoxious laugh would start and they'd be like, oh God, I'm awake again. Great. Like, good one.
Remember, by the way, we're in the company of royalty. Because at the end of the first episode, we crowned James Belgian King Story Person, winner of Hearts and Minds.
Oh,
did we?
You did. Your story about crocodiles, wasn't it?
Crocodiles.
Which actually, given all that's been going on with the end of the season, all the fans running on the pitch and causing problems, crocodiles wouldn't be a bad idea. Not a bad idea anymore.
Shit. Yeah. The moat going round filled up with crocodiles. Forgot about that.
That is right,
that
my liege.
That was a good story. Oh.
He forgot about it, and yet it's the thing that won him the crown.
That shows the effort that this guy puts into the podcast. What's it called again?
What's his podcast?
Yeah,
it's the Sleep Stories, right?
Yeah, apparently
this is Japanese sleepy Japanese forest sounds, right?
Yeah, that's what it's called. That's what it's called.
And then in the middle of it, you hear a laughing man in the middle of a Japanese forest.
Rob Lee, how's it been being reigning champion? You know, just to give Jack and Tash and myself, of course, an insight into how it feels.
It feels pretty good. You don't want to become complacent. The critics said that, you know, it can't be done back to back, but I'm here to try and prove that it can be. But, you know, we keep our feet on the ground. We just keep going for it. That's all we can do.
Such a Liverpool fan answer.
Interesting. You're kind of in a difficult position. A bit like, I've got Eurovision on the mind, I won't lie. Even though it was a week and a bit ago. We're recording this a couple of weeks before. You've got the difficult job of going first, James, as the reigning champion. You have to kick us off.
Okay.
And that's sometimes a bit harder to win. They say that, yeah, is that because it's not fresh in the memories. That. Not fresh in the memory. So you got to do a great
Should I do a Graham Norton impression over James's performance? Yeah. Just critiquing it.
You're not wearing enough sequins, I don't think, James.
That's true. And James, true. If you could do it in Romanian or something, that'd be really appreciated. If you tell the story, that'd be super appreciated.
I am not going to get myself in trouble, so no.
Okay. <I'm> not doing Everyone has a story, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Bug.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Joel. Then, listeners, you know what to do. Sit yourselves down, relax, ready yourself. It is turning into an ASMR podcast. Sit down, relax, ready yourself as Daddy James, Daddy Jack,
Mummy Tosh. No.
That is the line.
Settle down and listen. We're going to tell you a story. It's Football Book Club story time. Another outing for the theme. You loved the theme last time, didn't you, guys?
Yeah.
I feel like that's my greatest gift in life, finding themes online on freesound.org. I really put a lot of work into it. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. I spent too much of my life making it. James, as King Story Person, winner of Heart of Minds, as mentioned, you have to go first. So please, James Bowden, what's your story?
My story is, it's from not that long ago. And I'd never heard of this. I'm guessing maybe you have, James, but I'd never heard of this, so this is my story. In 2016, Paul Sturrock, we all remember Paul Sturrock, the manager who sort of looks like a little toddler for some reason. He looks like a little boy, like a little wooden boy. Got a little puppet head.
He's got a book called Luggy.
He does have a book called Luggy.
It'll be in this.
I'm in my head, I'm picturing Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Imagine a chubby little Pinocchio.
He's more like Bob. He looks like he's got a nice like little Bob. Face, but it looks like his eyes are wooden or something. I don't know. There's just something like dead eyes. I don't know.
Did you say he's someone got with a nice dead eyes? Face?
I can say that. Yeah, he's got a nice little. Okay. Got a nice little face.
He's got a nice little face. A bit like, but wooden eyes.
You know when someone looks like an adult looks a bit like a toddler. I can't really explain it.
No, okay. I do know exactly.
He's just got like.
I know, he's got like little chubby little cheeks. Got little chubby cheeks.
Yeah, he just, his face, he looks like a little, don't know, like a little wooden boy.
Can I just clarify? Is the story...
That's not the important bit.
Is the story my description of Paul Sturrock?
Paul Sturrock maybe looks like a chubby Pinocchio. You've really let this King thing go to your head, James. You feel like that?
I got
to
tell you, Graham Norton would be talking
everyone's just
over
a wooden boy to me now.
Come on, we got to keep Tash awake.
Okay, so this story is Paul Sturrock. So yeah, this will have been in his autobiography. Have you read his book? You can't have. We haven't done that book. Or are you just aware of it?
Why are you talking? Have you been on this podcast before, James? We've done like 50 episodes.
We haven't done Paul Sturrock's book.
We've talked about it. He's got two.
We've definitely talked about
Okay. So, in 2008, he was the Plymouth manager, and he bought Belgian international Emil Mpenza. Do you know this story?
I do know the story, and I loved Emil Mpenza growing up.
Yeah.
And
he ended up only making 3 starts for Plymouth. And then, so yeah, like 8 years later in his autobiography, Sturrock claimed that once he could not attend training because he was still aroused after taking Viagra the night before. So Mpenza's lawyer, they basically sued him. They launched a claim for damages, saying Emil has been deeply shocked by this imaginary tale, which undermines his reputation and seeks to discredit him. Not only does the use of Viagra suggest sexual incompetence, but for good measure, it turns out to be an illicit doping product. And then Sturrock said in response, "In all seriousness, I was told that Emil had taken Viagra the night before and still had an erection and wouldn't be able to take part in training." So that's the story.
This is the original Vardy Rooney. Going to court. Yeah. Wow.
It's Emil Mpenza's penis.
Wow.
I'm more interested in the fact that it's a doping. It, like, if you take enough Viagra, it counts as doping. Like, what do they think? Your penis got so hard that you can score with it? I mean, you can
score legal. With it. That's legal. It
middle hunter.
Imagine having to draw those lines for the VAR offside. I was about to say, that'd be a weird offside.
the armpit's on, there. But a little further down, he's off. He's offside.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a great story.
I've never heard it before.
I didn't know of it until I googled funny football story. I won't lie. But I loved Emil Penza growing up. Weirdly. I think he played in Euro 2000. He was Belgian striker. He's one of those players on Championship Manager I always used to sign. So I was really, really fond of him. And I remember he went to Plymouth at the end of his career. And I think somewhere else in the UK. But I can't remember. What happened, James, at the end? What happened at court?
Don't know.
Well, I think Emil Mpenja was supposed to turn up, but he couldn't because he'd taken a bunch of Viagra.
That's
and he was still
out.
Aroused from the night before.
Don't. You're going to get a sue, Jack. You're going to get a sue.
So,
we know that Emil ain't messing about if you say he's juicing.
Look, I got told by a Plymouth guy.
Yeah. Paul Starrick. Specific time for okay on the podcast.
I really like the Paul Starrick's thing. Was in all seriousness, though, I'm going to double down on it.
This is what I was
his
told.
His dong wasn't working.
In all seriousness, he's got a bad dong.
Okay, work well. I was told by someone else.
He's had to improve his dong medically. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
is it a crime for me to say that? No. Anyone remember Emil Mpenza's brother Umbo?
No,
I remember his brother Mbona.
Oh yeah,
theme tune.
Now we're cooking.
That was terrific, Jebs. Terrific start.
Yeah.
To start in blue. Start the show blue.
I want to know what happened now.
Yeah. Well, you had a very good chance to find that out after you looked up the story.
Yeah.
It's a 14-year-old story, but yeah. If anyone knows what happened to Emil Mpenza's penis, please get in touch.
Paul Sturrock is not allowed. He can't lie anyway, so you know he's telling the truth because you know what happens when Paul Sturrock lies.
His nose goes like Emil Mpenza's penis.
Exactly. Are you lying right now, Paul Sturrock? No, it's I took Viagra last night. That's what it is. That's what...
I put it in the wrong end. I don't know how that works.
His eyes turned as wooden as Emil Mpenza's penis.
Tash. I mean, usually it's you turns it blue, but...
I know.
So I think maybe it makes sense for you to go next. Would you be happy to?
Yeah, I can go next. I've actually got two to choose from, and one's a bit blue, but one... Do I want to keep the mood sour?
It's up to you. Or we could save it for later if you want to bring it back to blue later. I'm just worried you're going to fall asleep during the recording. That's what's... personally,
it is a big fear.
No, actually, I'm not going to use that one. I'm going to use a different one.
You're going to save
now,
that. Nice.
You will have probably have read this when you've been searching the internet for, you know, funny football stories. However, I found a little extra detail at the end that really added a bit of sauce for me. So I'm going to do this one, but you probably have read it today.
Okay.
You've been researching it. But do you know about the time that the Albanian football team got detained at Heathrow?
Oh,
you heard this story?
No. I do.
So it was in 1990 and they were trying to qualify for Italia 90.
Mm-hmm.
They... Last didn't make it past the qualifiers. Instead of getting ready to play in the World Cup, they were off to Iceland to play in some qualifiers for the Euros the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they had a stopover at Heathrow. So they were there for 3 hours. There was 37 of them. They had an English translator with them. And the English translator read the sign for duty free as all free. And the entire Albanian football team went into duty free and decked themselves out with 3,000 quid's worth of stuff, sunglasses, watches, perfumes. They were eating sweets, nicking bags of crisps, and they just walked straight out of duty free. Obviously, the police were like, excuse me, like, what's going on?
So,
the police come and get them. They are like, no, this is an innocent mistake. We've never done it before. You know, so the police are like, okay, give us the stuff back and you can go on to your next destination, which is Reykjavik. They get to Reykjavik. One of the players has got seven watches on. up his sleeve that he's managed to get to hide.
Wow.
Then the Icelandic authorities are like, nah, something fishy's going on here. They go through all the bags. They've nicked another $4,000 worth of stuff from the airport in Rome. So the entire Albanian football, 30 out of the 37 end up getting detained at the airport, and they get put under house arrest in Reykjavik, which means they're only allowed out to play the match. Then they get to the match, and it's actually happened 32 years ago today, on the day that we are recording.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Happy anniversary to going to prison, Albanian players.
Yeah. They were told, like, so long as they stayed in the house, they went to play football, they came back, there would be no more trouble. They get to the stadium, and they're playing, and a stark naked man jumps over the barrier, runs towards them and starts like jigging in front of them. And he's somehow found out and thinks that this is going to be like a punishment for them to see him.
They stole him too?
Naked.
What?
No, it's just some Icelandic guy. But anyway, I read about this. Some guy has written a very niche, he's called Matt McGinn, and he's written this very niche book about Icelandic footballing events. But the reason that I thought it was kind of sweet is apparently, even though Iceland beat Albania 2-0 in this very strange match, it's gone down in Albanian international like footballing folklore. And now whenever Iceland play, they almost get as many viewers in Albania as they do in Iceland. And
wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because they were like, that's the team
like
that we
tied
played when
together
we
together forever. So, yeah.
And when that weird man like, thrust at his
Albanian's attorney on going, oh, he's gonna come out soon.
Yeah, basically.
Now the sign.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What's that?
Punish us for stealing all those watches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he thought that was a punishment. Him jigging naked, he thought that he took it into his own hands.
He found out about it. Well, basically, they think that he knew the game was going to be covered quite extensively by the media, and he just wanted a bit of attention.
I was going to say, I don't think he was like, I must, for the good of the, to punish these people, I must get naked. I think he was looking for an excuse. Let's be honest, guys.
Yeah. Wow. But the thing that I just really liked about it is that this very strange series of events means that in Albania, Iceland are like their second national team.
That's really beautiful.
Very confusing.
Isn't
well,
it?
You say beautiful. I mean, we're talking about 30 players who stole thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds.
Yeah. And then forever bonded together by a naked man jigging in their faces.
Yeah, it's cute.
I will say, it's like a modern day Scrooge, okay?
I'm no legal expert. I've said this plenty times in the podcast. I'm not a legal expert. I know people often come to me expecting I am. But I don't think saying we misread duty-free as all free in three different airports, presumably in three different languages, holds up in court.
I would, but also, wouldn't you look at other people and be like, well, they're not doing it.
Like, guys, this is
why
free. What are you doing?
Seven watches on.
Yeah. Why are you missing the great opportunity?
Sure, you'd see people going up to the till to pay. What did they think they were doing? Like, oh, this is just a fun thing that we do here in Britain. We pretend to pay.
There's a story I almost brought up, which almost makes this slightly believable, which I was crossing into because a few friends of mine mentioned
this.
What a burn. Almost, but it makes it the Albanian.
Bring it up
guys,
with Matt McGinn.
Yeah, no, sorry. I believe that story. But I mean, the Albanian alibi. I mean, it almost makes that believable.
Sure.
David De Gea, a couple of my Manchester United friends told me this story. I looked it up and it's true.
I know this one. It's the one, right?
Yes, David De Gea.
Yeah.
He went into Tesco when he first signed for Man United. And he got done for stealing Krispy Kremes because he picked up a box of Krispy Kremes and just walked around eating them down the aisles and stuff like that because he thought, and he didn't pay for it, he just walked off and he got in trouble. And his excuse was like, he basically thought that that's what you do in England. You get, because they're by the door, you get a box of Krispy Kremes and you just walk around eating it.
And you're like, no wonder everyone's so obese here.
It was something like that. Anyway, yeah, it's...
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So there we go. He saw Krispy Kreme and saw for the all free. That's what it means. Yeah.
In Spanish, Krispy Kreme means free.
Just to clarify, has anyone got a story that isn't about the law and also involves a naked man at some point? Anyone?
My second story is also
one.
Sexual in nature. So.
You save that for next time. Save
my reserve story.
So I don't have a naked man, but I do have the law.
Oh, okay. As do I, actually. So, you know what? We'll go on a little break right now, but we'll see you soon for more story time where Jack will be telling us about the law and I will be telling you about the law. And Tash might fall asleep. Hi, we're Football Book Club Podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode.
Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you, mate?
Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on a pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters, and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. That's the life I choose.
As well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at CrowleyTime.com.
Have you ever had constipation? No, it can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Hello, and welcome back, listeners, to... James, you say what the hell at me, or because your microphone wasn't working?
No, I just found some chewing gum on the top of my foot.
Excuse me?
I'm gonna break character for that. Why? How?
I don't know. I looked at my foot and I was what's that? A bit of paper, I'll just pull that off. No, it was a bit of chewing gum, chewed up chewing gum, stuck to the top of my foot.
Socks?
Maybe. It wasn't there like 10 minutes ago.
I mean, were you wearing
that?
Socks?
Should get you dethroned. Oh, I'm going to say right now.
Got bare feet.
You should
got
lose the
feet.
Crown for that alone.
Wow, you're walking around barefoot, like Diana Vickers style, recording the podcast. I knew Tash would get that reference.
I just realised I've been absent-mindedly doodling while you've been talking, and I've just drawn loads of Viagra.
Wow. Okay. Nice. You have got a blue pen. You are holding a blue pen.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well. Anyway. I've been drawing Paul Sturrock, what I imagine Paul Sturrock to look like from memory.
And I've been drawing Emmeline Penzer with an open mouth. So if you want to fire those bad boys in, we can.
Welcome back to Football Book Club Story Time, the extremely popular feature where... I don't know whether that's the case or not. Welcome back to Football Book Club Story Time, where we are reading more funny stories from the past football, past and present. That really doesn't sell it, does it?
Funny stories.
Football Book Club's favourite football stories. Oh God. This is delirious. Jack, would you want to go? I'm happy to go next, if you like.
I'm happy to go next if that works.
Cool. Sure. I will bring up the rear. So, Jack, please, what is your story?
So, my story takes place a bit before your guys' stories. It takes place 107 years ago. Ooh.
Whoa. Okay. But, Jack, was there even. Well, there was football then, yeah.
No. There was football then. 1915. It's a match between Manchester United and Liverpool. That Manchester United won 2-0, but it was later investigated for match fixing. It is the first example of match fixing in British football. And so there's lots about it that's very interesting. Apparently it happened on the 2nd of April 1915, and neither team were challenging for honours. Liverpool were... apparently Man United were about to be relegated. Exciting. Liverpool were sort of mid-table, and everyone knew that the league was about to be cancelled because of World War One.
Right, of course, yeah.
So all of these players were like, should we just put a bet on this match and do a fix? And they were like, yeah, okay, let's do that. And it was a sort of conspiracy between the Liverpool players and the Man United players. And they Man United out of nowhere won 2-0. With George Anderson scoring both goals. However, the match referee and some observers noted Liverpool's lack of commitment during the game. They missed a penalty that had been awarded to them, and when Fred Pangham hit the Manchester United crossbar late in the match, his teammates publicly remonstrated with him.
Fred Pangham sounds like he would be a character in Gary Lineker's favourite football stories.
It's true. Oi, Pangham, boss over here! I'm not trusting you. You guys are match fixers.
Wow. So
apparently, after the game, all these things came out that they'd, you know, lots of money had been put on at odds of 7-1 for Manchester United to win. The Football Association launched an investigation and found it was seven players all went and like were involved in this match fixing. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Pangham, who was the guy who hit the post, and the guy who scored the goal, Anderson, had refused to take part, and Pangham had threatened to score a goal to ruin the result, and that was what he was trying to do when he hit the crossbar.
That's why they were injured, not because he missed it, but because
you came really close to ruining our whole scheme.
That's it. Yeah.
Which is fascinating. Yeah. It says, at the same hearing, United player Billy Meredith denied any knowledge of the match fixing, but stated that he became suspicious when none of his teammates would pass him the ball. He just was like, this seems weird. No one's passing me the ball, without thinking, maybe he's just not very good. So, interestingly, because the league was then cancelled because of World War One, these players were banned for... they were banned for life, these players. But during World War One, when the league came back in 1919 to 1920, all the players had their bans overturned because of their service during the war.
I thought you were going to say something much more depressing. Is that?
But yeah, me too.
During World War One, they died. So,
one guy did die, but you know, gloss over that bit.
Was it Pangham?
It wasn't Pangham. Well, Pangham. Pangham's not
shame.
Pangham didn't go down. Pangham was the honourable white guy.
Yeah, he was a grass. He ruined it for everyone.
little grass.
He's probably dead now. In fairness,
I mean, they're all dead.
He's 125 or something.
There was one player called Enoch West of Manchester United who vociferously protested his innocence, even going so far as to sue the FA for libel. So he lost the case and the ban stood. When all the other players got their bans lifted, he didn't.
Oh, wow!
So was he one of the guilty ones, though?
He was one of the guilty ones, but he claimed he wasn't ill on it. But
he was also wearing seven watches at the time, so, you know, let's not believe everything he says.
Yeah, Emmeline Penzer of his day. Paul's always like, in serious though, someone told me he was match fixing. In fairness,
I'll sue you.
We thought in the rules it said made. Do match fix. That's what we read it wrong. Doesn't that mean it over here?
We had a translator. But then there was also another bit where it said that West, all the other players resumed their careers after the war, but Enoch West had to wait until 1945 for his ban to be lifted.
Oh my god.
Wow.
By which time he was 59.
Oh jeez. I bet he still played another six seasons.
He probably did still play. Assisted Stanley Matthews in the cup.
Well, player of the year, 6 years running. Wow. That's fascinating. That's the first recognized case of match fixing in Britain.
In Britain, yeah. And apparently there was another incident 50 years later that was very similar, that was much more widespread under the lower leagues, because it was the start of lower league football becoming like something that you could bet on.
Okay.
And also something that you could that could effectively be fixed.
Football isn't bad. Do you remember Letizia's book? He admits he didn't want the ball to go out of play, did he? He said the ball was going to go out for a throw in the first minute.
Yeah,
He had to chase around the whole pitch. He said it's the most he's ever run in a match.
And that's sort of funny thing. It's like, no, I was, yeah. You know, I was.
He did get investigated. I think he did get investigated by the police, by Hampshire
Good.
Police.
Good. Yeah. Do you know what? That's probably the worst.
That's funny. Sorry.
I was going to say, that's probably the worst and weirdest thing that Matt Letizia has ever done.
I know a slightly strange, more recent case of a certain gambling company. And some people who worked there, they all got caught like rigging the odds on really rogue matches in like, I don't know, Eastern European countries and stuff, so that their mates could bet on them. But the algorithm that puts the games on the app is based on how many people are betting. And they kept wondering why all these strange matches were appearing on the front page. And it turns out they had like all this internal rigging going on. And that's how they got caught, because the app's algorithm pulled the games through. Because it was always like just a manual thing. And then when they got this new algorithm, they got foiled because
that's
it was...
That's fascinating. Yeah. That's fascinating. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, Jack, for your story.
I mean, wasn't like funny.
Certainly. Hey, we all learned something. And talking of learning, James, what flavour chewing gum is it on your foot?
Oh, for God's sake.
I didn't taste it. But,
is it bubble gum?
Try it. Eat the gum. Eat the
gum. It's Viagra flavoured.
Oh, no! I really wanted to eat that. Will you eat it by the end of the recording? If you lose,
you got to eat the chewing gum.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're just going to make me lose now, so I have to eat it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This ultimately is the downside with this system that we have here. We're going to make James lose.
But in the future, whoever loses has to eat James Belgian's foot gum. we send it around the country. Every single.
So there are two things that can happen here. You can either be winner, king. You can either be king story king person, story person winner of hearts and minds, or eater of James Belgian's foot gum.
Yeah, exactly. It's developing every week. Who knows what Storytime 3 is going to be like. So, I've got a little story for you guys. I'm going to kick it off. I liked Jack's flair when he did it last time. So I thought, for a bit of audience participation, I'm going to kick off with a question as well. It's not a riddle, like Jack's was.
It wasn't a riddle, really.
Who should be the next James Bond, do we think?
Ooh.
Paul Sturrock.
Yeah, obviously Sturrock. Okay, next one, after that. After Sturrock gets his
job. After Sturrock gets his job.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this related to your question, or are you just your story?
No, it's just nothing to do with it. I'm casting, and I don't know, we're running out of ideas. No. It is very much related to my story.
Okay. Well, as of today, Jack Grealish is the new face of Gucci, so maybe he's now. You know.
Okay.
Now he's one of the fashion elite. I could see him in a little tux.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So Grealish, full star. Any actors?
Nah.
Okay.
I think Grealish might struggle. Grealish is a kind of actor.
Ooh,
wow, I think Grealish might struggle. I saw a clip of him the other day where he didn't know where Birmingham was on a map of the UK. So I think he might.
No,
he might struggle. A lot of travels involved when you're Bond.
He didn't know Birmingham, isn't he?
He didn't just not know where Birmingham was. He didn't fundamentally understand the question that was being asked.
Yeah, he said, "Is that England?" afterwards. And they're like, just go away, Jack.
He's from Birmingham, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you seen that clip? It's no, like it's in the England camp, and Henderson and a couple of others, I think, like Ward-Prowse, are playing a game where they have to try and like put a pin in where their teammates are from in the UK, just like as close
where
as
they
can.
From.
And then they call Jack over, and they're like, "Oh, Jack, we're doing you. Like you do it. You put where you're from." I said, "Here. Where are you actually from?" And he was like, "What?" So like, where are you from? Like, put on the map. And he was like, is that England? He just had no idea like that it was even the UK.
Well, I'll be honest. This has really ruined the suspense for the next one, I think. Yes, the next James Bond should be Steve Grzybowski. I can tell you why. And in fairness, ever since Ken Zong's
Steve
Grzybowski, he has been in my mind a lot. I've been thinking about him a lot, and it turns out he may or may not already be pretty experienced as a spy.
What?
Ooh.
That is the response I hoped for. You haven't got some another 6-minute Jack Grealish story to tell, have you, James?
I've got plenty.
How dare you?
I'm a Grealish fan. Let me just make that clear. I like the lad. I like him.
Okay. All right. You're going to have 5 minutes on Jack Grealish at the end, James.
I have neither no opinions or I have no opinions on Jack Grealish, just
okay.
So you know,
let's
James.
Let's do it quickly. James Tash. I'm James. Sorry. I quite like him.
Sartorially, yes. Geographically, no.
Interesting. I think that's a pretty common consensus. Anyway, who are Steve Grzybowski? Retired in 2000, aged 42. He was a classic. I mean, you remember Steve Grzybowski. He was a classic kind of grizzled old school goalkeeper. Very tall. Grizzled is the word to describe him. I think he was a grizzled guy.
Grzybowski.
He then began working behind the scenes at Coventry, kind of disappearing largely from the public. I don't know why I say he's disappearing from the public eye, as though he was like at film premieres all the time and stuff like that. In OK Magazine every week, Steve Grzybowski. Anyway, then 3 years later, in 2003, a petition suddenly appears online demanding the release of Steve Grzybowski by the Kazakhstani government. Out of nowhere, it gets a lot of traction online, and it read, "Here is our petition to Tony Blair and the Kazakhstani government demanding the release of footballing legend Steve Grzybowski and protesting his innocence." And it was called the Free Steve Grzybowski Appeal. So no one really, again, you know, this is the time before everyone was like, going on Instagram and showing all the like behind the scenes stuff, or, you know, Grizzlich probably didn't have Twitter at the time because it didn't exist. According to the petition, Steve was trying to travel the world on public transport for a charity called Over the Bar and had accidentally trespassed onto private military property, prompting his arrest under the suspicion of being a foreign spy.
Ooh.
So there we go.
Wait, in Britain?
No, no, in Kazakhstan.
In Kazakhstan.
He was traveling
right, okay.
the world doing this for this charity on public transport is what this petition says. And everyone's like, oh, wow. Okay, I haven't thought about him in a while. That must be what's happening. Over 250 Sky Blue fans pledged their support. They wrote messages like, please free Steve, he's a bent-nosed hero to millions. And I didn't take it very seriously. Maybe they were more in on this. And then others were like, lock him up for life. I've forever been in the shadows of the big ugly bastard. I'm his brother. Oh, or something God. Like that. Said someone claiming to be his brother anyway. And people were very concerned. Other people were. People didn't know whether they'd see Steve again, I guess, until the Coventry Evening Telegraph investigated the issue. And they eventually found him. On the Coventry training ground. So, as Steve Grizovich said, this is a complete hoax, he told the Coventry Evening Telegraph. I'm told that only 57 people signed the petition. I read 250, but anyway. I was told that only 57 people signed the petition to get me back, so I don't think that would carry much weight with Tony Blair. But seriously, it is a complete hoax, and I haven't a clue where it has come from. Which is a very Frank Lampard thing to say.
But seriously.
I was arrested by the Kazakhstani guy. He says, I haven't made any trips to Kazakhstan of late, nor am I planning to. I can only assume that with the well-documented breakthroughs in science of late, I've obviously been cloned, which is a bizarre way to end the story. But that is what he said. Bizarre end.
If you didn't, you'd know if you'd been cloned. Let's be honest, Steve.
True. Yeah, that's true. I think, yeah, I don't think Doyle, I mean...
I'm just saying, Steve, the joke doesn't work.
No. But, you know, people thought, I guess, if the internet tells you in 2003, I mean, the hoaxes have always existed and stuff, but I guess the second you see that Steve Grizovich is being held captive in Kazakhstan, I'll believe that. And I guess a lot of people did. But also...
I would be upset that only 250 people cared.
Yeah, I agree. So apparently he isn't... Anyway, he's apparently not a spy. However, as we all know...
Oh.
That's exactly what a spy would say. That's exactly... Yep. If Steve Grizovich was a spy, he wouldn't go around saying, yeah, that's exactly where I've been. Who knows? Maybe the British government swapped him with someone Kazakhstan wanted.
If I know
spies, pushed him back. Like, I don't know.
That's what they classic line.
Exactly, James. Maybe the Kazakhstani government wanted Dele Adebola. He's the only player I can think of for Coventry.
Well, they're just swapping Coventry players.
Swapped him, yeah. We really want Adebola. Well,
give you Steve Grizovich, or we'll give you Steve Froggett instead. Yeah,
exactly.
I still have nightmares of the time that I called Steve Grizovich Steve Orgasmovich on this show.
Really?
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
You do, right? I was like, you know, Steve Orgasmovich. Oh my God, why am I bringing up again? And then James was like, Orgasmovich!
Someone had a good night time with Emily and Penza. But anyway, that's it. All I'm saying is, don't be surprised if the next Bond film is set in Coventry. I also wrote down, ooh, ah, Steve Grizovich, ooh, ah, a prisoner of war.
Nice.
So there we go.
That would be a fun thing to chant at him in the street, wouldn't it? He'd be so baffled on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, basically, this guy called Ken Zong. And,
yeah. And of course, you're on that petition, Steve.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone.
Thank you, everyone, for your stories today. Some crackers, again. That was really, really, really good fun. However, sadly, one has to win. Well, I guess it's a good thing that one has to win, but sadly, you know, three of us have to be losers. Maybe that's the sad thing.
Well, one of us gets to be the king, and the other one has to eat James's... James's foot gum.
It's time to crown this week's King Story person, winner of Hearts and Minds. So, let's go around the group again in order, and please say who you think should be crowned Storytime Champion. Mr. Footgum himself, James Baldwin, who is your champion this week?
Let's just recap the stories. So there was
Albanian.
Oh, you can do it. You can do it.
No, please. No, you can. Take my job. I don't care.
I'll try and remember.
Oh, God.
Albanian team.
Fine, you get to be the mock hunter. I don't care.
Stealing watches. Jack's was the first match fixing, and yours was a spy.
And yours was Paul Stark accusing Edmund Panzer of having a boner.
I can't vote for my own, no, unfortunately.
Okay. Penza boner, Albanians nicking. God, that sounds like some Daily Mail headline.
it sounds like a Channel 5 schedule.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Britain's first match fixing,
1915.
Yeah, or Steve Akrisovich undercover. Which one? Which one are you going for?
I'm going for Albanians nicking stuff. That's the one. That's
the one. That just suits your prerogative against Albanians.
Okay,
so 1 point. Tash inches closer to being King Story person winner of Hearts and Minds. Tash, who's your vote going to?
I'm going to vote for Jax because I actually learned something there.
There we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is the first time anyone's voted for me on this.
I know. Thank you. Just wanted to see your little face looking so happy.
I still haven't had a vote, by the way. But I think I'm going to be tasting the gum tonight.
Oh, I'm tasting that gum. I still think I'm going to be tasting the gum, I got to tell you.
Jack, who is your King Story person winner of Hearts and Minds?
Yeah. Let's be honest. Okay, we'll go through them. Stark's very, very good. I like that one a lot. Mm. I will say there was legitimately a good chance we were going to do Luggy as a book and that this would have come up.
Yes. Yeah, and you've ruined it.
And therefore...
now we can't do the Paul Stark trilogy.
Yep. I didn't realise it came from a book. So...
It might not be in the book. It might not be in the book.
It probably is.
It almost certainly is, James.
It depends when it's written, I guess. It depends when Luggy was written.
Depends if it's got a parental guide.
I think that's where it came from. I think that's why it is.
Emil and Penza sued him.
I should really understand how books work.
you've read enough of them, mate.
Yeah, I should do.
And I did like Steve Akrisovich, but I think it probably has to be Albanians nicking.
Albanians nicking. Yeah, let's give it a better name.
Jiggly man punishes the Albanians.
Hello,
I'm Tash Frisco. And this is Jiggly Man punishes the Albanians.
Yeah, wow.
It was a really good story, and it happened 32 years ago to this day, so it's hard to disagree with that kind of time. It's just a very well told story.
Sure. Okay, cool, very good.
I like Steve as well.
Okay, all right. Now you don't have to make me feel better. Heartbroken. Put a lot of effort to that. And my winner, I guess. I've got the deciding vote here. It doesn't matter really what I say, because I'm going to go for something that doesn't really affect the final score. I'm going to go for James just because I love Emil and Penza, and I'm biased towards that. I love any mention of Emil and Penza. I love Paul Sturrock, and I love erections. It ticks all the boxes for me.
There are three things we know about James Buck.
Yep.
He loves Emil and Penza, he loves Paul Sturrock, and he loves erections.
And MILFs.
For that story.
MILFs as well.
Yeah, and he loves MILFs.
Four things I love. And talking in a children's pleasure voice. But James gets my vote. So that means all bow down before Natasha Frisco, King Story person, winner of Hearts and Minds. King being used in a gender neutral way.
Yes.
Gender neutral king.
Gender
neutral king.
Very impressive. Well done, Tash.
Great.
For someone who is ill, hungover, and tired, you did very well.
Thank you very much.
And I guess I'm Foot Gun Boy.
we're all Foot Gun Boy. Isn't everyone else Foot Gun Boy?
I specifically lost the worst. I lost the worst.
I do.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
I do feel bad because I think on any other day you'd have won it.
Yeah.
For me. It's a good one.
Yeah. What about the other two?
Story.
What about the other two?
Yeah.
Who could have voted?
Yeah.
I blew it.
I actually think Jack Grealish stole your thunder.
Yeah, as always. That guy's always stealing my thunder. Anyway, I'm too depressed to do the ending. Someone else do it. congratulations, Tash. That's very good.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's me, the sexy James Bug.
Very accurate. Tash, I forgot we've got another theme. Tash, I've got to play the crowning music as we give you your crown. So here we go.
Is it the 53rd episode again?
How's it feel, Tash? How's that crown feel?
Heavy as the head, the weighs the crown, but it feels pretty good.
There we go. Mm. There we go. See, Stormzy, stop complaining.
I'm going to start researching for part three today.
Wow.
Because I'm going to keep this crown.
Oh, that's fighting talk. I like that. James, that's what you should have done. You should have
instead of focusing on your foot.
I've got my gum.
There you go. Now I'm getting that gun. If you have a story for us or one you'd like to tell the story time group, please do get in touch with us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, or if you remember the Football Book Club, message us on there. Some people did message us some great stories. I'll read them out next time we do this. I'll tell you what I'll read them on. I'm going to read them on the Football Book Club, our Patreon. Make sure you sign up for it at www.patreon.com/footballbookclub. It's a place where we try out ideas like this initially, and we have a new episode every week on there, and you get your own bookmark, which, you know...
And when they run out, you can have foot gum to stick it in.
Foot gum.
Actually, I think we would make quite a bit on a certain website if we had your dodgy... Yeah. You chewed a bit of gum, stuck it on your foot for a bit. I think... I'll be honest, I think...
While doing ASMR.
I think we'll get more money if Tash does it, I'll be honest. I think we've already got a bit more of that.
I am not above that.
No, fair enough.
I am not above that.
If you join the Cook Club
any
today...
Any requests?
We will give you Tash's foot gum. We will do it.
Yeah.
Just sign up, for God's sake.
This show has changed, hasn't it? I remember when James first said to me, do you want to do a Football Book Club podcast? Well, yeah, that'll be fun. That definitely won't end with one of my friends saying, do you want to suck some chewing gum off my foot?
We're desperate times. We're not as big as Quickly Kevin yet. Anyway, that's what Josh Widdicombe does.
It's true. Well, in Taskmaster, you're right, actually. That's pretty close to the stuff he does.
Enough about Taskmaster. Save the other podcast, Jack. We know you. But Taskmaster this, Taskmaster that.
Taskmaster people's podcast. Listen every week.
Yeah, you can listen to it. Fair, you can say that. Anyway, that is all for Football Book Club story time. We'll be back with autobiographies next time, though. We're back on the autobiographies next time. Yeah. And actually, next time... Oh, Jack, you were going to say something. I was going to have a little bombshell.
I was going to say sexy daddy James is going home.
Sexy daddy James has got to go to bed. Sorry, children. Jesus. What was I going to say? That was it. Next time, our last episode of the series. The last series. Darius Vassell. We have reached the end of... We've reached the end of the road to Persia.
Wow.
20 episodes later, whatever it is, and we're finally going to read... But it's been around the country. James read it. I read it. Tash read it. Jack read it. That's all four of us. I think we've all read it. Tash, you read it now?
Nearly.
Okay. Well, three of us read it. Tash was the last one to be sent it. We're all excited to talk about it. It's a cracking book, and we can't wait for you to hear the episode. But for now, say goodbye, Jack Bernhardt. Say goodbye, Jeb Bernhardt.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Tash Frisco.
Goodbye, children. Good night.
And goodbye. Say goodbye, James Belgium, please.
Goodbye, children, even the wooden ones.
Do you want a bit of foot gum?
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Belgium. The show was created and produced by James Bug. The theme music heals behind is the work of Silent Partner and is using a Creative Commons 4.0 basis. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, see ya.